pray for these that are a part of the new converts study. I'm looking forward to going through that again. And I believe with everything that's within me, that'll put them on a good foundation. And the one thing I told them that would, as much as anything through this, is you learn to read your Bible. You learn to look up Scripture and search Scripture. If a child of God, newly saved, if they can get that in them to begin with, to be a Bible reader and learn to pray, it'll make all the difference in their Christian life. It will. It'll make all the difference. It'll make all the difference. It'll make the difference in somebody truly walking close to the Lord and somebody just being a place on the pew. And I don't say that to be mean. But there are some, they don't never read. They don't never pray. And it worries me. It worries me for people like that. There's no spiritual life there. It can't be. Can't be any spiritual life there. I don't see how they could be any spiritual life apart from God's Word and communicating with the Lord. I'm not saying you have to pray 8 hours a day and read 10 chapters. But you go to the book ever so often at least, and you get down ever so often and, you know, talk to the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter number 8. And I'll just start reading at verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And I want to, I know I've mentioned this before, you can find more about the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8 probably than any other chapter in the Word of God. There's a lot in here about the Spirit of God and our relationship with Him, His with us, and what is known as the Spirit life for the child of God. Having the Spirit of God in you, being made free by the Holy Spirit. And you'll find that in this chapter, it is the great chapter of victory through the Spirit. Victory through the Spirit. In Romans chapter 6, the apostle was having this, you know, he's trying to tell us our position in Christ. In chapter 7, he explains how that flesh is just a tug of war with us to want to try to live it, that old nature, but that you and I are to be dead to that. And then in chapter 8, it definitely gives us our position and the victory that we have, the victory you have as a believer. Whether you experience that victory, whether you live in it, it's like having gold in the bank and not doing anything with it. Are you listening to me? You have something, but not using it. It's like being a child of the king and never checking into the palace. I mean, you have something in Christ. Many things, great things in Christ. And there is a victory, a liberty that is promised. I guess the Lord has put that on my mind to deal with today, that liberty, to show you and I that liberty. There is a bondage and then there is a liberty. Children of God can still find themselves in bondage. We shouldn't, but we do. And the life of bondage is a picture, is supposed to be the unsaved life, bound. The life of liberty, freedom, that's that spiritual life. One is the life of the flesh, the other is the life of the spirit. One is you and I lost following the flesh, the other one saved living in the spirit. But sometimes we find ourselves wobbling on the fence, don't we? This way, that way, this way, trying to balance ourselves. We need to get off the fence and get over here. Amen. The bondage that God talks about all through Scripture, and He tells us what it is. In Proverbs 5:22, this is what Solomon said: "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." That's bondage. The cords of a man's own sins holds him in bondage. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin that, what, does so easily beset us. Why? Because there's some things that are personal to you and personal to me. Personal sins that are like cords to bind us if we yield to them. It'll put us in bondage. If we give over to it. Amen? Probably one of the greatest statements I've heard in the last 10 years from a preacher. And it's actually Brother Tim McCann that was here recently. He didn't say it recently. He said it some years ago, probably 7-8 years ago. He said, "I don't have a TV." He said, "I love TV." He said, "I could sit and watch TV for hours. I could watch it for days." And he said, "That's why I don't have it, because I love it too much. And if I had one, I wouldn't get anything else done for God. I'd be in front of that." And I thought, praise God that he saw that was a cord to him. That may not affect you that much, but it did him. Are you listening to me? He knew that that was something
that if he had it, it was surely going to bind him. Why? Because he knows what's in his flesh. You and I should know what's in our flesh. Amen? Know the constraints of the flesh. Don't mind the things of the flesh is what the Scripture tells us not to do. If I know that I have a problem with something, you need to stay away from that. As far away from it as you can. Because it's going to be like cords. Cords holding to you. Isaiah said, lest your bands be made strong. He was talking to them. Now, therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. They would kind of mock. They could mock at the others, but they wasn't careful. Because they're mockers, their own bands have become strong. Sometimes, listen, we spend time looking at somebody else's sin and, talking about them and talking about what they've done and talking about their sin. And you know what's happening to us? My bands are getting stronger and stronger and stronger on me. And it may be God trying to show me you need to pray for him, do something with yourself. Amen? God help us that these things don't become like cords and bands that get stronger and stronger. This bondage, that's what it does. And it gets you and I to a place that a man cannot free himself. The Bible talks about a man over in the New Testament being overtaken in a fall. If any man be overtaken in a fall, he's bound by it. There ain't a thing he can do. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. There's a lot to that restoration. It may be help stand him up on his feet, help cut them cords away. Amen. How do we do that? Show him what it is that's binding him. Amen. Love him enough to say, look, you've got some cords here that's got you tied up in knots. Amen. Wouldn't that be the thing of a spiritual person to do because they want to see somebody free? Show them their bands. Show them their cords. Restore them. Get them out of their bands. Get them up on their feet. Get them to where they can be free again, free in Christ. Oh my. Jeremiah said, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Listen what he said. Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. People that are accustomed to do evil are like a leopard that has spots on him. They're there. It's part of him. It's part of him. You need to realize your flesh is still a part of you. And it's only there for one thing, bondage. Until you and I engage the spiritual man and strengthen the spiritual man and bring this body in complete subjection to where it has become a temple of God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? All of those things cleaned out. And it's a shell. The body is dead because of sin. The spirit is life because of Christ. The spirit of God living inside of us, causing us to live free. Amen. Amen. Not doing those things, those things that put you and I in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity, as the Scripture says.
The Bible said in Romans 6 that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whoever you obey, that's whose servant you are. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience. And that's obedience to the Spirit, unto righteousness. So he tells us to yield ourselves. Paul was talking about that in Romans 7. I mentioned many ago about that law in his members, in this body, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Bringing me into captivity. It's the very law of sin in our members. All it wants, you know, it starts out thinking, making you think, oh, that's going to be nice. But by the time you get to where you're going, what the flesh wants you to do, bringing you into captivity, that's all it wants to do. Look at the beer sucking signs on the highway. They've got the guys standing there and boy, they've got the big coolers and the parties and everything going on and chucking up a big cold one. Are you listening to me? It doesn't show the bondage that's waiting. The bondage that will come. Amen? It always does. It always does. There's nothing good about it. Are you hearing me? Nothing at all that's good about it. Nothing good about the drugs and nothing good about all the taboo that the world is going so hog wild after today. It's all a bondage to put men and women and children in bondage to take them to hell. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. Oh my. They promised liberty. 2 Peter 2 talked about teachers that promised them liberty. He said, but they themselves, they're in bondage. People that are in bondage can't promise you liberty. Oh, I promise you, you'll have a big time. Oh, it'll be good. That's somebody in bondage telling you that. Today, more than ever, I have seen this. Young people, come on, let's all go get us a tattoo. Buddy, tattoo buddies. We'll all get us one. And the people that's asking you that or telling you that, they're in bondage. And they just want you to be in bondage. Because then when you got it, then it's there. You've done it. Oh, preacher, you can get rid of them. God knows what you did. It's there. It's a scar of sin, amen, on the very spirit and soul of who it is. Against God, things that God Almighty has already said in His Word. Don't do this. Don't be like the world. Amen. Don't mark yourself. Don't mark yourself. Many other things that the world, it's bringing you into captivity. 2 Timothy said this. He talked about the snare of the devil who are taken captive of him at his will. The devil knows how to take you captive at his will, with his plan, in his way. With his snares. You know what a snare is, don't you? A little rabbit. Little innocent rabbit runs through the woods. And all of a sudden, snare, snap. Comes up, catches it by the leg, breaks its leg. About kills it. It's still alive. But it's caught in a snare.
That's what Satan does. He puts these things out, sometimes where you don't even see them. Just get you coming in that direction. And then blindsided. Snare. Why? At his will. He wants a purpose for your life. Amen? You don't think the devil has a purpose for your life? God has a purpose for your life, and Satan has a purpose for your life. Here's what Jesus told Peter. The devil has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. There's the devil's purpose for Peter, and it's the devil's purpose for you to sift you as wheat, to bring you into a place where you are no more. You are just bound by him. Bound by him and no way out. But the Bible speaks of a great liberty. A great liberty. And you as I, as God's people, we should not abuse this liberty. He said in 1 Corinthians 8, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. In Galatians 5, Paul said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. I've got liberty in Christ. I'm free in Christ. So if I do something in my flesh, it doesn't matter. I'm still have a liberty. Paul said, don't use your liberty that way. Don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Peter spoke of it like this in 1 Peter Chapter 2, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Use your liberty as the servants of God. Amen? What a high calling. What a high calling of God that you and I have in Christ Jesus, that we've been brought out of such bondage, out of such depths, placed on a solid rock. Amen? A solid foundation is what the Scripture says. Christ, the chief cornerstone. You and I now made the sons of God. Amen? Free. In all of God's kingdom, there's angels, there's cherubims, there's seraphims, all that God has made, these heavenly beings. And then there's you and I, sons and daughters of God, born again and free. Like no other creation, no other being ever that God has ever made. The angels desire to look into what you and I have. Such great liberty, freed from such bondage of sin. This liberty, he said, in Psalm 19, he said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Remember when he said that? Let them not have dominion over me. And then he said this, then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Innocent. Free. Innocent. Not guilty of it. Amen. I was talking to the class a minute ago about what it is to be born again. Great picture of being born again in John chapter 3. You have a conception. That's the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit makes conception. Then there's a child growing. You hear me? Then there's labor pain. And then there's a birth. Born. You know that child doesn't have no past? No past. No past. Ain't that good? I'm talking about a new birth now. Picture of the natural birth in light of a new birth. No past. That child has no past. And all of its future is growing. If it's healthy, it'll just grow. Get bigger and bigger and bigger. Are you listening? Learn more and more and more. But from the time it's born, no past. Gone. Born again. Born. I'll be innocent from the great transgression. Psalm 107, he said he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. Break their bands asunder. Well, that's a good picture of freedom, isn't it? That God would break our bands. He said in one Psalm 116, thou hast loosed my bands. That'll work. Loose them, break them, free. Either way, no more bands. Amen. They're gone. My bands are gone. The things that bound me, he broke them. He loosed them. Not me, him. He's the one that does the breaking of the bands. He's the one that loosens our bands. Thank God for that. Oh, Lord, truly, I am thy servant, he said. Amen. And the son of thine handmaid, thou hast loosed my bands. He said, which the Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord looseth the prisoners. In Psalm 146. In Isaiah 42, here's the scripture I was talking about, to open the eyes of the blind. To open the blind eyes. To bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. He said in Isaiah 42. It was Christ's mission to free you and I, to set us at liberty. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me, he said, to preach the good tidings unto the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. What a blessing. The Spirit of the Lord, he said the same thing in Luke 4. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. To set at liberty. Liberty. Great liberty. It's like the Israelites, them of Judah, being in bondage and being set free to come back home. God has stopped kingdoms and put down kings, great kings, to set his people at liberty. Set you and I at liberty. Christ came. The verse this morning, you shall know the truth shall make you free. Romans 6, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That's your position. Servants of righteousness, not servants of sin. You're not a servant of sin anymore. You're not bound to that anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. You became free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. I can do right because Christ is in me. I can do what pleases God. I can live acceptable and pleasing to Him. because the Holy Spirit has freed me and made me free. He makes me free. I have a new life. The law, the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and of death. Let me give you a couple more. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The glorious liberty of the children of God. 2 Corinthians 3, now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We take that a lot of times. I've used it for years. You know, him being in a service and having liberty in a service to worship the Lord. That's the way my mind has thought. But listen, that's personal. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He's in you. Liberty is there. Freedom. Why be a child of God and live in bondage? You don't have to. Why not live to the fullest of what Christ has saved you to? To enjoy the fullness of your salvation now. Now I know we can't match a glorified body and no sin nature anymore. That'll come. In heaven, that'll come. But right now, you and I could be enjoying the Christian life far greater than most people do. Far greater. And listen, this liberty is more than just, well, I don't lie most of the time, and I don't commit adultery, and I don't kill, and I don't drink, and I don't steal, and I'm pretty good. Some things that, you know, I'm doing pretty good. Better than most. You could still be in bondage. Why? Because what I talk about so much, your relationship. And you have liberty to come before Him. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. There's a lot to our liberty to experience such overwhelming liberty and glory and joy and love and peace in Christ, in the Spirit. To have a spirit life, to have Him talking with you and walking with you. To be close to Him, to have a relationship with Him. Like you haven't experienced maybe since the time you're saved. I said this before. As we get older, we learn better. We're more accountable to the Lord. The more we hear, the more we're exposed to, God holds us more accountable. There's some things He begins to put us to that He wants us to do. I can remember when I was first saved. Boy, I tell you, it seemed like I could just ask God just about anything. Lord, take this from me, and it was gone. I mean, gone. Easy. Easy. But the longer you're saved,
And then if you hold on to something you shouldn't have held on to, maybe even longer than you should have held on to it, God, you pray that way, the Lord will forgive you. But boy, I'll tell you what, there's some praying and walking that seems like has to happen before my fellowship's just right back. Maybe that's on my end. Maybe that's not on his end. But it's almost like God says, you could have had that took care of a long way back, son. Could have been that easy as it was when you first got saved. Sometimes I think, boy, I wished it was that. But listen, we can't stay babies forever. We grow. And then it begins to take faith. Now I not just ask, but I trust God's word that he's going to do what he said he would do, whether I feel it or not. When I was younger, if I didn't feel it that fast, I just couldn't stand it. I felt like God hadn't done a thing if I couldn't feel it. God had to teach me not to live on feeling. Live by faith. You've got to grow. I thank God I've still got some feeling. Amen. Amen. I want to feel him every now and then, don't you? Amen. We should. The spiritual life is a life with feeling. Otherwise, where's the joy? Where's the peace? I couldn't feel those things. Spiritual life does have some feelings. But it's not all feeling. It's by faith. We live by faith. Feeling, that's extra. Amen. Thank God for the liberty. Liberty. Don't take for granted your liberty. I believe the Lord wanted me to say that this evening. We take for granted our great liberty. We will find ourselves more and more in bondage rather than walking in that liberty. We get used to it. Almost just like a pain in your back. You just get used to that it's there. You know, or a pain in your shoulder. You know, it's something you wished it was gone, but you just kind of get used to it that it's there. Our spiritual life shouldn't be that way. Get it took away. Get it took away. You're free. You are free. Amen. I want you to stand.